In federal court in Manhattan today, trial begins for four men charged with conspiring to bomb the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania in 1998. More than 200 people were killed in the nearly simultaneous bombings, and thousands were hurt. The government charges the defendants were part of a radical Islamic terrorist group headed by Osama bin Laden, the Saudi exile who remains a fugitive on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. He's also suspected of being behind the bombing of the USS Cole in Yemen. From New York, NPR's Melissa Block reports.
The attacks on the U.S. embassies were launched just after 10:30 in the morning on August 7, 1998. Powerful bombs ripped through the embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam, the explosions in the East African capitals coming within minutes of each other. The blasts left buildings in ruins, incinerated passersby, and turned the streets into scenes of carnage. Jim Owens was inside the embassy in Dar es Salaam and described the scene.
The air was filled with smoke and dust, and it was very difficult to see. We could hear some people crying that were lying under a collapsed wall. Myself and a Marine and one of the women that works there at the embassy were able to lift the wall and pull her out. Her legs looked like they were very badly damaged and cut. Everywhere we went, people were soaked in blood.
11 people died in the blast in Dar es Salaam. In Nairobi, 213 people were killed, 12 of them Americans. Later that day, President Clinton made this promise.
These acts of terrorist violence are abhorrent. They are inhuman. We will use all the means at our disposal to bring those responsible to justice, no matter what or how long it takes.
It didn't take long for the government to respond militarily. Within 2 weeks, the U.S. launched cruise missile strikes at suspected terrorist sites in Afghanistan and Sudan. And one by one, suspects in the embassy bombings were arrested in Kenya, Pakistan, Germany, South Africa, and extradited to stand trial in the United States. On November 4, 1998, U.S. Attorney Mary Jo White announced the indictment of Osama bin Laden, whom the government accuses of orchestrating the devastating attacks.
Osama bin Laden and his military commander, Mohammed Atif, are charged with plotting and carrying out the most heinous acts of international terrorism and murder.
Bin Laden remains at large with a $5 million bounty on his head. He's believed to be living in Afghanistan. The government charges that the four men going on trial today planned the bombings in response to a fatwa, or religious decree, issued by bin Laden, who ordered his followers to kill Americans around the world. Former State Department counterterrorism specialist Larry Johnson says the investigation into the embassy bombings has fleshed out the portrait of bin Laden's network of supporters.
They're bound not by a particular country, but rather a radical religious ideology, one based upon the premise that the United States is an infidel country who's defiling the holiest shrines of Islam and Saudi Arabia and must be destroyed.
Two of the defendants could face the death penalty if convicted. They are Mohammed Rashid Daoud Alawali, a Saudi Arabian, who allegedly rode in the truck carrying the bomb to the Nairobi embassy, threw a stun grenade at a security guard, and fled just before the bomb detonated. Also, Halfan Hamis Mohammed, a Tanzanian, who allegedly helped grind TNT, loaded the explosives, and rode in the bomb truck to the embassy in Dar es Salaam. A third defendant, Mohammed Sadiq Odeh, a Jordanian, is charged with conspiring to plan both the Nairobi and Dar es Salaam bombings. And the fourth defendant, Wadi El Haj, a naturalized U.S. citizen born in Lebanon, allegedly served as bin Laden's personal secretary and lied to authorities about his involvement. David Baugh is an attorney representing Mohammed Alawali, one of the defendants who could be sentenced to death. He acknowledges that these men going on trial are likely loathed by the American people.
I did a word association thing on the train once with some people when I was thinking about taking this case. And I turned to about five or six people in the train and said, tell me the next word that comes to mind. Arab terrorist was the next word.
Those prejudices must not be allowed to impede a fair trial, Baugh says. In a sense, he adds, the entire American judicial system will be on trial.
That's what this trial is about. The ability to adhere to those basic principles with someone who doesn't even believe in them. But we have sworn that we will protect him with them. And that's the measure of us. And if we don't do that, we're not what we represent ourselves to be.
The trial in federal court is being conducted under the most extreme security. Bomb-sniffing dogs will regularly sweep the courtroom. Spectators must pass through two separate metal detectors. The defendants are to remain shackled throughout, with drapery hanging from the defense tables to keep the restraints out of view of the jury. At a pretrial hearing, defendant Wadi El-Haj leaped from his chair, vaulted over a railing, and charged within 10 feet of Judge Leonard Sand before he was tackled by federal marshals. Then, last November, a fifth defendant, who will be tried separately, allegedly attacked a prison guard with a comb sharpened into a makeshift knife, driving the point so forcefully through the guard's eye that it pierced his brain. The trial is expected to last the better part of a year. The government will call some 100 witnesses and is expected to present seized computer files, intercepted telephone calls, and confessions some of the defendants made to authorities. The star witness is expected to be co-defendant Ali Mohammed, who pleaded guilty and is cooperating with the government. Family members of the 12 American victims plan to attend the trial, among them Edith Bartley. Her father, Julian Bartley, the consul general in Nairobi, was killed in the Kenya blast, along with her 20-year-old brother, Jay, who was working as an intern at the embassy. For Edith Bartley, the trial offers an opportunity to see her father and brother's alleged killers brought to justice. But at the same time, Bartley and the other family members blame the Clinton administration for ignoring warnings about possible attacks on the embassy and then treating the families shabbily after the bombings occurred.
What is most disheartening is the lack of respect, acknowledgement, and consideration that this administration has displayed in the aftermath of this event. The posture has been one of arrogance and one of, let's push this aside, brush it away, and hopefully this will go away. And we're not going away.
Indeed, the families have filed a notice of claim against the U.S. government. They're seeking more than $100 million in damages for negligence. Melissa Block, NPR News, New York.